Shavua Tov Rabotai. Beruchim and Imsaim. We are studying Sefer Tehilim of David HaMelech Alav HaShalom Zichuto Yagin Alenu Amen. We are learning tonight Mizmor Ayin Bet, chapter 72, which is a very significant chapter. This is actually the last chapter in the second book of the Tehillim. You know, the Tehillim is divided into five Sefarim. They say that the five Sefarim is connected to Hamishah Chumshe Torah. And therefore, the second Sefer ends with this Perek. And they say that the first 72 Perakim, David HaMelech is talking about specific events that happened in his life. And then from the third book and on, it's just, not just, but it's praises and different shivahim that David HaMelech gave to Kadosh Baruch Hu. This chapter specifically was written by David before he died. Before David HaMelech died, he enjoyed to witness one of his greatest dreams and hopes and aspirations come true. And that was to see his son Shlomo HaMelech rise to the throne and to become the king. Shlomo HaMelech became king at a very young age. He was only 12 years old. And David HaMelech was happy to see that his son followed his ways, and he was able to inaugurate and coronate him to the throne. David had great hopes for his son. He thought that in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, Mashiach will come. He hoped that in the time of Shlomo there will be world peace, which there was to a certain extent. He thought that justice would prevail throughout the land, there would be tzedakah mishpat, and that would already usher in the Messianic era. And therefore, before David HaMelech dies, he makes a prayer to his son. This is the chapter that we begin tonight. And the beginning of the chapter starts off, Lishlomo, which literally means for Shlomo. Now, one of the reasons why Shlomo HaMelech was given such great wisdom, it says, according to one opinion, he reached the 50th level of Chokhmah, a level that even Moshe Rabbeinu did not reach. Sha'ari Hamishim. Why did Shlomo HaMelech merit such divine wisdom? It's based on the story that is told in the Tanakh that David HaMelech asked Shlomo, ask me for anything. Shlomo HaMelech could have asked for wealth, he could have asked for riches, he could have asked for prestige, and all he said was, give me wisdom in order I can judge your nation, in order I could pursue justice. Borei Olam was so impressed. You gave up all the other options that you could have asked for, and you asked for wisdom, I'm giving you everything. We just learned now in the Gemara says in Nedarim, Daf Mem Aleph, Da'at kanita ma hasarta. Da'at hasarta ma kanita. A person who has wisdom, he has everything. A person that doesn't have wisdom, he doesn't have anything. So Shlomo HaMelech said, that's all I want is wisdom. Borei Olam says, wisdom, you're going to get every beracha as well. So I once heard, it's a derasha, that what's so great of Shlomo that he asked for wisdom? Da'at kanita ma hasarta. Of course, if you have wisdom, you have everything. So he was asking for everything. So explanation, they said, is the greatness of Shlomo. When was he asked this? In a prophecy. When does a Navi get prophecy? When he's sleeping. In his sleep, he answered that he wants Chokhmah. Which means, for somebody to ask for Chokhmah when he's awake, it's okay, that's already one thing. But when a person's sleeping, what comes out of his mouth is, that means it's in his blood. That means that's in his system already. And therefore, since he got the prophecy when he was sleeping, even when he was sleeping, he asked for Chokhmah. That shows us already how embedded that was in his psyche. So this Shlomo, David HaMelech is praying for his son Shlomo. Elohim, mishpatecha lemelech ten, v'sitkatecha leben melech. God, Mishpatecha, when it comes to your judgment, lemelechten, give the judgment to the king. Vesitkatecha leben melech, but your righteousness should be for the son of the king. What is he saying, David? David HaMelech had an incident with Bathsheba. We studied this when we learned chapter Nun Aleph. We went in depth that we said from the Gemara that David wasn't worthy to commit such a sin. Lo haya ra'uy David lema'aseh shel Bathsheba. It was above David's caliber, the sin. But why did God bring the test to him? In order to teach the people that there's an inyan of teshuvah. That even if a person commits a sin, like going with Eshet Ish, he can make teshuvah. David hekim ula shel teshuvah, it says. He lifted the yoke of teshuvah. To show us that there's hope. That's why he committed the sin. So therefore David HaMelech, he tells Borei Olam, I don't deserve to be punished for my sins because I was set up. It was divinely ordained that I commit this sin in order that you could teach the people justice, that there's teshuvah in the world. So for me, I have no problem. Give me the full mishpat. Lay down the punishment on me. I don't deserve a punishment. And therefore he says, Elohim mishpatecha lemelech. That means the melech. Me, judge me by mishpat. However, Shlomo was destined to commit a sin also with the wives that he married. Shlomo married more wives than halachically he was allowed. And it says the wives at the end of his life caused him to sway off the path. There, Shlomo did not have the justification where he could tell Borei Olam, you set me up in order to show me that, to show the world that he can make teshuvah. That sin was a sin. It wasn't like his father's sin. And then what David HaMelech says, me, I'm not worried. Lemelech, mishpatecha ten. Give me the full mishpat. However, v'sitkatecha leben melech. But to my son, Shlomo, the son of the king, he needs tzedakah. Do righteousness for him, which means he needs clemency. You have to give him a break, because his sin is going to, he's going to be deserving of the punishment. Therefore, David HaMelech was already praying that for the sins of Shlomo, God should give him tzedakah. Furthermore, the Pasuk writes, Yadin ammecha besedek va'aniyecha b'mishpat. What does it mean? Yadin ammecha besedek. Literally, may he judge the nation with righteousness. The Zohar writes that Shlomo HaMelech in his high court had the Holy Spirit of the Shekhinah there. And anytime somebody came into court, even before he said his testimony, if he was a liar, there were all images and animals and things like this that were on Shlomo HaMelech's throne. They would start making noises and intimidation and scary things. The person would right away come and say, Hatati, Aviti, Pashati, I'm lying, I'm guilty. And therefore there was a tremendous amount of fear. Yadin Amicha B'tzedek. At the time of Shlomo, there was tzedek prevailing. Nobody wanted to commit crimes because they knew they weren't able to get away with it. Because even if they had an ability to trick a judge, but they didn't want to stand in front of Shlomo HaMelech, the animals will start scaring them, they'll start intimidating him right away, they're forced to admit. And therefore, because of his uncanny ability to do judgment in such an unconventional manner, Yadin Amecha B'tzedek. They were scared to break the law because they knew there's no way you can escape the justice system of Shlomo. V'aniyecha B'mishpat. But David HaMelech says, when you judge the poor people, judge them b'mishpat, with justice, which means don't favor the rich man. When a rich man is in judgment with a poor man, don't give a leniency to the rich man because he's influential and powerful. B'aniyecha, when the poor man comes to you, b'mishpat, it should be with justice. Rav Samson Rafael Hirsch explains, the Torah calls, or the Pasuk refers to the Aniyim, V'aniyecha. God's impoverished people. Because poverty is decreed by God Himself. God makes a person poor in order to make the world perfect. Why? Because when there's a unequal amount of distribution of funds, this man has more, this one has less. So now already there could be tzedakah in the world. Tzedakah doesn't mean charity. Tzedakah comes from the word tzedek. Tzedek is righteousness. Tzedakah, why is it called righteousness? Because really the money belongs to the ani. It's his money. When a man is giving charity, he's not giving the poor man something that the poor man's getting as extra. That's the poor man's money. It just happened to be in the rich man's pocket. And therefore it's called tzedakah because he's involved in tzedek. It's justice. And therefore God did that on purpose because maybe the rich man needs a zechut. Maybe he needs a merit. So God creates a situation where the poor man has to come to the rich man. He gives him what's belonging to him anyway, but now the rich man gets a zechut, he gets a mitzvah. Tzedakah tatzil mimavet. And therefore could save him from, chas v'shalom, a potential problem. In the perfect world, God would give everybody equal. Therefore there would be no justice, no tzedakah. But then there would be no zechut either. And that's what the Midrash writes. Yoter mimashe ba'al abayit oseh la'ani, he'ani oseh la'ba'al abayit. More than what the rich man does to the poor man does to the rich man. Because really, the rich man is just giving the poor man his money. It's his money. It's almost as if the rich man is the administrator of the poor man's money. It's like we said this morning, it's like you have a deposit in a bank. You have a bank account. When you go to the teller in the bank, the teller is not giving you from her money. She's giving you your money. She's just taking it out of your account and giving it to you. The same thing when an ani comes to you, something of course an ani that's worthy to receive tzedakah, and you're giving the charity, he's just making a withdrawal from his account. You're the bank, you're holding his money. God gave you your chelek and the chelek of the ani. And the rich man has a zechut because now he has credit to give out. All the rich man is doing, I'm not belittling it, I'm not chas v'shalom diminishing it, but all he's doing is he's serving as God's gabay tzedakah. He's God's gabay. What's the gabay's job? To give out the money. So God picked the rich man. Obviously he loves the rich man for that reason. He said, I trust you to be a good administrator or apotropos to give the money to the aniyim. With this we explained what the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says in the Pasuk. Im kesef talveh ta'ami et he'ani immach. The Al-Sheikh HaKadosh says, when you give money to my nation, remember, et he'ani immach. The money of the ani is by you. Et he'ani, what belongs to the ani immach, is by you. And therefore, you're just giving him what belongs to him. And that's what we explained once in the Mishnah Pirkei Avot. Ezu ashir asameh b'chilko. We said it in the Darasha this morning, but it's ready to repeat because it's nogea to our Mishnah. It's talking about tzedek and tzedakah. Person makes a wedding. It's a big simcha. He has a lot of expenses for the wedding. The florist, the caterer, the band, the clothes, etc. And then after he makes the wedding and he spends thousands of dollars, a poor man comes to him and says, please, I need tzedakah, I need charity. He says, you came to me at the wrong time. I don't have any more. I'm all tapped out. He's just spent all the money on the wedding. So the poor man says, hold it. Whose money did you spend on your simcha? My money's in your account over there. You want to make a wedding, spend it on your money. Don't spend my money to make your account, to make your parties. It's like a person goes to the bank, and he tells, I want to make a withdrawal. They say, well, the bank spent your money. What do you mean the bank spent my money? That's the bank's money to spend. You want to spend your own money. Ezu ashir. Who's a rich man? Hasameach, when he makes a simcha, behilko, he spends his chelik, behilko daika. He doesn't spend the poor man's money. It's not under, he doesn't pay the flowers with the poor man's ma'asir. That take from your own chelik, but the ma'asir you gotta keep. And therefore, Rav Samson Fos is saying, the anima called aniyecha, they're God's poor people, because God made them poor. So you shouldn't think a poor man, it's fate, it's bad luck. No, God does that on purpose to create that imbalance. That's why you see communism is against even the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God does not want the division of wealth to be exactly equal. There's no purpose, there's no tzedakah in communism. Everybody's making the same amount of money, so there's nobody that can help the underprivileged. Everybody's equal. That's socialism. Masha'enkin, when you have the system, the perfect, and you see it failed, by the way. So we don't have to prove that it's not a right system. It crumbled. That's not the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the pasuk says, Vaniyecha, your poor people, God, that you made the poor, b'mishpat, you shouldn't have a bias against them, Shlomo. Treat them equally in the court. Yis'u harim shalom la'am. When there's justice in the world, there's beracha in the world. And therefore, the pasuk says, let the mountains bring the nation peace. How can mountains bring peace? We know that when the economy is good, there's peace in the country. When there's beracha, people have money in their pocket, there's less crime. People don't have to steal for food. People have more tolerance for each other. People have more patience because there's beracha. But chas v'shalom, if there's economic hardship, then everybody becomes more hostile to each other. And therefore the pasuk is saying, Yis'u arim, let the mountains produce produce. Let them produce fruit and bounty and wheat. And as a result, when the mountains are going to produce product, food, then what's going to happen? Shalom la'am. Then automatically there's going to be peace into the nation. And then the end of the pasuk says, Ugba'ot bistaka, and even the hills, the low hills, will also produce bounty, and therefore the rich fruits will bring peace to the nation as well. Pasuk Dalet, Yishpot Ani'am. We remind you, Shlomo HaMelech had again an ability to judge the people like nobody had. He didn't need witnesses. He was able to judge just with his chokhmah, the famous story of the two ladies that came to Shlomo HaMelech, both claiming that that baby is theirs. How is Shlomo going to answer the question? The people were wondering. There's no rayot. They didn't have DNA testing in the olden days. How are they going to figure it out? And Shlomo HaMelech, with his wisdom, came along and said, fine, we'll cut the baby in half. The people were shocked. Cut the baby in half. How can you say such a thing? And sure enough, the real mother came along and said, take the baby. No, don't cut that. Shlomo HaMelech was able to use the psychology of such a chokhmah to figure out, and the other lady admitted it. So you see, Shlomo HaMelech had such a chokhmah that he was able to judge even without witnesses, without rayot, to get people to admit. Pasuk says, Yishpot Ani'am. May he judge the nation's poor. Yoshia libne ibyon, and save the children of the destitute. Now here, it refers to the anim, not of God's poor people. In the pasuk before, it said, va'aniyecha. Here it says, yishpot aniyam, the poor of the nation. Rav Sefer Feilhurst says, aniyecha are those that were poor as a result of God's decree. But then you have aniyam, that really their poverty comes from the nation. Why? Because the nation is not providing services for these people to make a living. Therefore, that's not God's business. That's the dereliction of the community, which is where a community doesn't have, let's say, a service to provide jobs for people. So now there's a lot of people out of work. But whose fault is that? It's the community's fault. That's aniyam. Because if the community would have social services, so the people in the community that need a job, they can go to this organization and they provide them with positions where they can make parnasa, or they can provide them with a free loan society to get them on their feet. But if the community doesn't have those services available, so now it's not called aniyecha anymore. That's called aniyam. That's the result of the nation itself. Shlomo has to judge them as well. Yoshia libnei ebyon. Who's bnei ebyon? So the Mefarshim explains, Sforno says, this is talking about the children of rich people that lost their money. When a rich person has children, the children are used to be living on a certain standard. They're spoiled. They're used to getting, three meals a day and clothes for every holiday. Now what happens? They become bnei ebyon. So Shlomo HaMelech David is saying you have to tend to their needs as well. You have to make sure that they get money in order to live according to the standards that they used to. Which means, when you're giving out charity, you have to know who you're giving. You can't just say, well, I gave him $100, that's enough. He's bnei ebyon, $100 is not going to get him to be comfortable to the lifestyle he was used to. So therefore it says that what? He also has to make a judgment. Yoshia, he'll bring salvation to Bnei Ibyon. Vidakeh Oshik. And you'll crush the oppressor. Who's the Oshik? The Oshik is the charlatan. The Oshik is the Ramai. That's the swindler that comes along and, you know, makes all sorts of schemes and takes money from people and doesn't give it back and is involved in all sorts of scandalous behavior. Shalom HaMelech's job as well. Vidakeh Oshik, you have to crush the cowardly charlatan in his despicable ways. And again, Shlomo had wisdom in order to stop these people as well. Even though they were able to trick everybody else, but Shlomo HaMelech was able to see right through them with his chokhmah. Yira'ucha im shamish v'lefnei yareyach dor dorim. Now this pasuk over here, the pshat of it means yira'ucha, the people will fear you im shamish. Just like the sun is a constant. Every day it rises, every day it sets. V'lifnei areyah, every night the moon comes out, or it's visible. So the fear of God in your time is going to be constant. Throughout Jewish history, there was always ups and downs. Bnei Yisrael are on a spiritual high, they fall their madrigah, they go back up. Again, David HaMelech is hoping that Shlomo HaMelech is going to be the end of time. He's going to bring Mashiach, and at that time there's going to be Yirat Shamayim as a constant. So he's saying Yira'ucha, the fear that's going to be in your time, Im Shamash, is going to be with the sun. V'lifnei Yareyach, with the moon, which means it's going to be a constant Yirat Shamayim without falling from the Madrega. The Gemara, however, in Berachot has a different derasha in this pasuk. Gemara learns over here the importance of praying early in the morning with the sun. These people, the Gemara refers to as Vatikin. What is a Vatik? Vatik is somebody that's zealous. He loves to do the mitzvot the earliest time possible. In this case, it's referring to praying at sunrise, praying at Netzahama. Yira'ucha im shamish. Their fear will manifest with the sun, which means they'll pray to you with the sun. Now, I want to make a clarification here. There are many minyanim that, as a result of this Gemara, call themselves minyan vatikin. But I think it's more appropriate to refer to those minyanim, in many cases at least, not all, as minyan netzahama. Why? Because a vatik is not somebody that prays at sunrise. A vatik is somebody that does every mitzvah in its proper time. Netzahama is just one example of the lifestyle of a vatik. But if a person just prays at sunrise, but everything else, he's not careful and meticulous at doing it, bismana and bidikduka and with all its details. So again, so you're a netz guy, but you're not a vatik. Vatik, as I said, is a lifestyle. So the Gemara says, Vatikin gomrim o time netzahama. The Vatikin, those people that are careful in everything, they also are careful on this as well. One time somebody came, an outsider, I'm honest, doesn't know too much. So he sees on the sign of the shul, it says in Hebrew, it says netz. So he doesn't know anything. He sees one day they pray at one time, the next day a different time. The next day, another, every day there's been prays at a different time. Then they change the clock, an hour early. He can't figure out. He says, now I understand. He says, why it says nuts on top of the door. People are crazy. He thought nuts was in English. He said, no, it's not nuts, nets. They didn't know what I was talking about. In any event, v'lifnei yareyach dor dorim. The Gemara's Doresh over here, that a person has to pray Minha also close to sunset. Which is before the moon comes out, right before sunset, Dor Dorim, for the which is it's referring to the tefillah of mincha. And really the books bring down that if a person has a chance to pray mincha gedolah, mincha ketana, which is the later time, a person should opt to pray mincha ketana. We follow this Gemara, Sfaradim especially, we always pray mincha in our minyanim 15 minutes before sunset. That's the exact time that we pray to fulfill this Gemara, in order to pray, like the Gemara says, imdimdumi hamma, which means with the sun rising and the sun setting. So you see there's a halakha that comes out of this pasuk as well. Yered kematar al gez kirbivim zerzif aris. What does it mean? May he descend like rain. Kematar al gez. Gez is the grass that was mown. Mown grass. Kirbivim zerzif aris, like the plentiful rain, it will saturate and water the earth. What David HaMelech is saying like this, Shlomo HaMelech's strength was also his weakness, or potential weakness. Shlomo HaMelech's strength was his wisdom. It's very hard for somebody that has such wisdom to relate to the common men. Smart people, they can only talk on a high level where only intellectuals understand them. It's very hard for a wise man to synthesize difficult subjects and explain it to the common folk person. Chamezal Atiyah, Alav Hashem, once said at the Rasha regarding Shlomo HaMelech, it says, V'yoter she'aya Shlomo Hacham, Limed da'at et ha'am. And as much as Shlomo was a wise man, he still taught Torah to the people. What do you mean? As much as he was smart, he still taught Torah? Adrabah. Because he was so smart, he taught Torah. What do you mean? As much as he was smart, he still taught Torah. As of what? His smartness is a reason not to teach Torah? So he says, as much as Shlomo was wise, it would be difficult for him to talk to the people. They can't relate to such a wise man. They don't understand what he's talking about. But what his greatness was, he brought it down where every single person that came to the Derasha, no matter what level he was on, the genius walked out and said, wow, what a shi'ur, unbelievable. Shlomo, go on. The middle IQ guy came out and said, tremendous. The ladies came out, what a derasha. The children came out, oh, that was the best class. He was able to say in one derasha things that every customer that was there listening was able to take something to enjoy. As much as he was a hakam, he made da'at at time. He was still able to teach ta'am, everybody according to madriga. So yered kimatar al-gez, just like the rain when it comes down, it doesn't discriminate. The rain comes down on every blade of grass. It doesn't only go on part of them. So David HaMelech is telling his son that your wisdom should go like the rain falls on the grass, which means it should influence everybody. Like the abundance of rain that saturates the ground. Yifrach biyamav sadiq. Verov shalom ad beli yareyah. Now, what is this pasuk referring to? As I said, Shlomo HaMelech, in his time, we came very close to Mashiach. The Beit HaMikdash was built, there was world peace, there was tremendous Shirat Shamayim throughout the world, even by the Goyim, they respected Shlomo. So he said, Yifrach biyamav Sadiq. Who's the Sadiq? The Mashiach. David HaMelech was hoping that in his time, in Shlomo's time, Yifrach, it's going to flourish who? In the time that Sadiq is going to come. Ve'rov shalom, because it's going to be an abundance of peace. But he says, ad beli yareyah. Now literally it means, ad beli yareyah, until the time where there's not going to be any more moon. It seems that when Mashiach comes, the moon is not going to exist anymore. The moon is going to be like the sun, it says. You're not going to have, the moon was only cursed until the Mashiach comes. And then once it says, like we say in the Birkat al-Bana, it's going to shine like the sun itself. It's going to even be bigger than the sun. Shiva'atayim. So therefore he's praying that what? Yifrach biyamav sadiq. And he'll usher us into the time. Which time? The time that's going to be ad beli yareyah. Where there's not going to be the moon anymore, which means the messianic era. But the Mefashim say much deeper over here. David HaMelech was saying a prophecy. Niba velona yada ma niba. He prophesied, but he didn't realize what he prophesied. Why? When Borei Olam was giving the mitzvot to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said, "Ahodesh azeh lachem rosh chodashim." This month is yours, and he pointed to him to the moon. The Mefarshim say what God was telling Moshe Rabbeinu was that the monarchs, the kingdom of Am Yisrael, the rulership is like the moon. Our calendar is a lunar calendar, and our monarchy follows also the cycle of the moon as well. How? The first monarch that we had was Avraham Avinu. Nesi Elohim ata betochenu. He's considered a prince amongst us. And if you start going down the line to see the Jewish leaders, you have Avraham, you have Yitzhak, you have Yaakov. Who followed Yaakov? His fourth son Yehuda, who was the king of Am Yisrael. After Yehuda, who did you have? His son Peretz. Peretz was the dynasty of Melucha, followed by Hesron, Ram, Aminadav, Nachshon, Salmon, Boaz, Oved, Yishai, David. David was the 14th link from Avraham Avinu. That's why they say David's name was David. David Gematria, 14. Dalit Vav Dalit, because he was the 14th monarch in Klal Yisrael, in the dynasty. On the 14th day of the month, the moon is almost at its biggest apex. Then came Shlomo HaMelech, the 15th. David HaMelech already was in the center of the month, the middle of the month. That's when the moon is full moon. And that was the highest Madrigah for Klal Yisrael. At that point, Am Yisrael was at its spiritual height, its popularity, its influence. There was no greater days than the time of Shlomo HaMelech. Hence, he was the 15th. And then what happened? From Shlomo HaMelech's time and on, it started to go down. Starting from the Samri Havam, that's when the split of the kingdoms came, Malchut Yisrael, Malchut Yehuda, all the way down to the 30th king, which was Sidkiyah Melech. Sidkiyah Melech was blinded by Nebuchadnezzar and gouged his two eyes out, and there was darkness. Just like at the end of the month, after the 30 days, the moon is not visible anymore. And therefore, David HaMelech was alluding that Shlomo's greatness and the Davidic dynasty, at least in our time, is going to last ad beli yareyach, until the moon does not exist, which means we're going to have 15 more kings, and then it's going to be ad beli yareyach. There's going to be like a lunar eclipse until the Mashiach comes, which is going to be the 31st of the dynasty. So already you see there was a depth of what was being said over here, and that's why, incidentally, now you understand why whenever we make Birkat HaLevana, so we always make references. David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam. We talk about that all the enemies should perish, and Am Yisrael should be rejuvenated like the moon. I mean, there's always a connection when we make the Berachah on the moon to the Jewish salvation. Because our salvation follows the cycle of the moon, and when the moon is now starting again, so we want to start again the cycle of Jewish success. The prosperity of Klal Yisrael. That's why we make that reference at the top of Birkat HaLevana. Chodesh Azeh Lechem. The Ben Ish Chai on this pasuk says, if you look at the word Yifrach B'Yamav, Hakamim say that the world is going to exist for 6,000 years. That's the maximum it could last. The first 2,000 years, it says, was the years of Hesed. That was before the Torah was given. God kept the world in existence b'chesed. There was no Torah to fuel the world yet. The second 2,000 years are considered the years of Torah. And then the last 2,000 years already are considered Yemot HaMashiach. Now, it seems, according to that understanding of the Midrash, that the Mashiach is going to come at the end, and they say, at least we don't have to say it anymore, it's fact, that he's going to come in the sixth millennium. We are now in the sixth millennium. As a matter of fact, in the way Borei Olam counts the days, every 1,000 years of a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a day. Like the Pasuk says, Ki elef shanim be'enecha keyom. 1,000 years on God's calendar is one day. So technically, we are now in the sixth millennium. That started in the year 5,000. So that's already the sixth day. That's Friday. In the year 5,500, that was already Friday at Hatzot, Friday at midday. Already when we got to the year 5,750, so that's already towards the afternoon. That's already Mincha Ketana. That's already Plaga Mincha. That's already 3:30 in the afternoon already. And now already we're years after that. So now already the sun is starting to set on world history. This is it's Erev Shabbat. It's Erev Shabbat close to sunset. Once Shabbat comes, that's it. Yom Shekulo Shabbat is the Messianic era. And therefore, the Hakamim are telling us, the Ben Ishchai, Yifrach biyamav sadik, biyamav rashe tevot, bime vav, in the sixth days, in the days of the sixth, in the days of the sixth what? Of the sixth millennium. Yifrach biyamav, bime vav, which we are in right now. So that's a prediction. Exactly when and what, we don't know, but we know it has to be, according to the longest calculation, which we don't even want to think about it, it's 240 some odd years. That's the longest. If it's velo, I mean, if it's going to be far out, the smallest calculation is Hayom in Mikolot Tishmau. The Ben Ishchai gives a different derash on this pasuk. Yifrach biyamav sadik, verav shelo mad b'liyah. Yifrach biyamav. He says like this. The tzaddikim, when they go up to Shamayim, since every one of their days is accounted for, they use every day the Torah, they're able to be judged on a daily judgment, because every day is accounted for. However, you have people that wasted some days. So they go upstairs, they ask to be judged on a weekly judgment. Because in a weekly judgment, you have Hablah, okay, so the one day, you look at it in the context of the week was good, even though the one day, maybe you messed up. But then you have people that have weeks that were just Lebatala. So they need a monthly judgment. You look at the month, okay, the month was a good month at least on a whole. Don't be still scrutinizing with the weeks. And then you have some people that can go even months that just futile, wasted. So they need a yearly judgment. The year was okay. Don't judge me by the year. So he says, that's what the Pasuk says, Vavraham Zaken Babayamin. He came with his days. He doesn't need to have a general judgment. Every single day he's able to pull out reward. There was no waste. He's never going to get to a day where he's, you have to put that back in the pile. And that's what the Pasuk says. He writes, La'asot Mishpat Avdo Ubishpat Amo Yisid Devar Yom Biyomo. The whole goal is that the Mishpat should be Devar Yom Biyomo. On a daily judgment, every day you can account for. And that's what the Pasuk says here, Yifrach Biyamav Sadiq. That in the time of Shlomo HaMelech, the tzaddikim are going to be tzaddikim, daily tzaddikim. Yifrach Biyamav. That every day is going to have a purpose and a function. And now David talks about the borders of Israel. V'yerd miyam ad yam. May he dominate from sea to sea. America, they say, sea to shining sea. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. V'yerd miyam ad yam. Which seas are they referring to? Yam Suf on one side, Yam Pelishtim on the other side, that's the borders of Israel. U'minahar ad afse'ares. And from the river, like the Torah says, that's the Euphrates River, Nahar Agadon, Nahar Perat. That's on the northeast side, and the river of Nahar Misraim on the southwest side, which is the borders of Israel. Lefanav yichri'u tsiyim. May nobles kneel before him. Those are referring to the noblemen of the Goyim. Even the Goyim, they heard about Shlomo HaMelech's wisdom, they came for judgment in front of him. And they would kneel in front of him. Ve'oyebav afar yilachechu. Any attempt that they tried to challenge Shlomo's authority, it ended up with the enemies bowed in front of the Shlomo, and they licked the dirt. Afar yilachechu, they licked the dirt that was under Shlomo. Malchet Tarshish ve'iyim min hayashivu. The Pasuk writes, the kings of Tarshish will bring a tribute, gifts to Shlomo. What is this referring to? Tarshish was a port city that was known for its abundance of wealth. Remember we learned in the book of Yonah, the boat was coming, right, Tarshisha. Tarshish was known as a metropolis, big city, a lot of beracha. Shlomo HaMelech in his time had so much money, nothing that he had in his palace was made out of silver. Everything was made out of 100% pure gold. Silver was considered cheap in the times of Shlomo HaMelech. Where did he get all the gold? From Tarshish. Tarshish, it seems, had all the gold mines. So it says every few months there was a new shipment from Tarshish, and they came and they delivered gold bullion to Shlomo HaMelech, and they gave it to him as gifts. And therefore gold was considered very, very common at the time, at least for Shlomo. He had more wealth than any other king, of course, and therefore everything he had was, like the Pasuk says, Malchet Tarshish ve'iyim. Iyim is the isles, the islands. Min hayashivu. Now the question is, what does it mean, Mincha Yashivu? The Midrash, it's Mincha Yolichu. They will deliver a gift, not return a gift. So the Midrash writes that this is referring to when Mashiach comes. Mincha Yashivu. Throughout the history of our existence, Am Yisrael has used the method that we learned from Yaakov Abinu in order to deal with anti-Semites and hostile governments against us, and that is the method of Shohad. Esav, when he came to kill Yaakov Abinu, one of the things Yaakov did was he sent him a Doron, a Matana. And it seems that the Goyim react positively to the Doron, and they accept the bribes. The Hafetz Chaim even gave advice how to bribe. He said, bribe them in small denominations, because their eyes become satiated when they see a lot of money. Don't give them $100 bill. Give them 100 ones. It's the same amount of money, but you give them a suitcase full of my own. It looks much more than it really is. Hafez Haim said. Because you see the way Yaakov Avinu gave them at the road. He broke it down into so many different, so many goats, and so many cattle, and so many, to make it look like much more than it really was. To satiate the eye of Esav. Unfortunately, we read stories in the time of World War II how the Nazis already put a price on the Jewish life. If you can get $70,000 wired to the Nazi regime, they'll let a Jew live. And that's what the Vada Tzala was involved with raising money to try to save Jews. Which means, as much as they hate us, they love money more than they hate Jews sometimes. And therefore, for money, they're willing to, you know, overlook their anti-Semitism. So there's a lot of money they owe us. A lot of money we had to give them for just to bribe them for our existence. You see what's going on today. It's an amazing thing. A Jew doesn't deserve to live. In the eyes of the Goyim, you have no existence. You want to live, you have to pay for your existence. We live in a different standard than every other nation. Every other nation deserves an existence. What's the biggest proof? We sit down with negotiations with the Arabs. And the United States also is in these negotiations. And what's the negotiations? We'll stop blowing you up if you give us a piece of land. Well, what do you mean? Isn't that a starting point? How could that be a negotiation? You're going to stop killing us. You shouldn't kill us because you shouldn't kill us because we deserve to live. Then we can start negotiating. But even the United States understands, no, that's a good negotiation. They'll stop killing you. Give them something for that. We have to give them something that they're not going to kill, and they don't keep their word anyway. That's besides the point. But that's the mentality. That you don't. The fact that we're letting you be alive, that's already, we did your chesed. And therefore, we have to constantly give up pieces of the land, we have to constantly bribe them, give them money, give them. So it says, when Mashiach comes, min hayashivu. All that money that we gave them is going to come back. They're going to write out a big check to all Am Yisrael. Every nation is going to come along and say, okay, here's the Lavdil, you saw this in a drop, and it's not even a good example. No, what I'm saying now is after World War II, where they talked about the war reparations. Even though the war reparations are pennies, it's a pittance to what the Germans did to us. They thought that this is going to alleviate their guilt, to give the Israelis a couple of Mercedes-Benz for wholesale, and that already will exonerate them from the atrocities that they did. But when Mashiach comes, it's going to be settled. All the money that they stole from us, the Germans, Yimach Shemam, when they went into Jewish communities, they repossessed the Jewish homes, they took Jewish homes. People came back after the war, they went to their houses, they were gone. All their money, all their bank accounts, what we're talking about now, all the bank accounts in the Swiss bank, everything was taken. Where did that money go? Torah says, don't worry, min hayashivu. God has all the records. And those records are going to be returned, and every penny that belonged to every Jew that was plundered and taken away, it's going to be recovered. The Pasuk says, and we conclude, Malche Sheva Usba Ishkar Yakribu. What does the Pasuk say? The end of the Pasuk? The kings of Sheva and Seba shall offer gifts. Ishkar is a gift. Ishkar, like comes from Lashon Sachar, like a reward or a gift. This is referring to over here, Malkat Sheva. Many stories with the Queen of Sheba. She was a queen, and she ran the country. She was married to the king, but the power was by the queen. She was in control. She had the Malchut. She was a very powerful lady. She also came when she was enthralled by the wisdom of Shlomo HaMelech. She couldn't imagine there could be such a man like this. And she went, and she presented Shlomo HaMelech with many questions, and many riddles, and many different, we call them like brain teasers. And Shlomo HaMelech was able to answer them all. And she was so impressed, she gave Shlomo HaMelech all sorts of gold, and diamonds, and jewels, and so on and so forth. And it was predicted, you see, the Malchut, even Malchut Sheva, was humbled by Shlomo's wisdom. V'yishtahavu lo kol melachim. David's prayer was that, again, Shlomo would unite all the kings of the earth. That's why Shlomo HaMelech married many wives. Because he was trying to unite the whole world. So it's like his marriage was like the United Nations. He had a representative from every single nation. So now everybody felt connected to Shlomo HaMelech. This was his method now to bring everybody together. V'yishtahavu lo kol melachim. Like it says in the Tefillah, V'yasu kulam aguda achat. He was trying to make that aguda. Kol goyim ya'avduhu. And all the goyim will serve him, and serve him not out of fear, but out of love and admiration. Why? Ki yasil evyon mishaveya ve'ani ve'en ozed lo. Because he's going to save the destitute one. Everybody recognized Shlomo's court. It was the most fair court. It was the most justice. It was equity. It was proper. And therefore, when they saw how fair Shlomo HaMelech was, they saw the ethics of the court of Shlomo. And everybody therefore was drawn towards it. Why? Ki yatzil evyon mishaveya. He saved the crying destitute one. Evyon mishaveya, from crying. Va'ani ben ozedlo. And the poor person that had nobody to help him, he helped him as well. Now there's one word to say on the Jewish court, which is important to comment. Shlomo HaMelech learned from his father, David. The Pasuk says in the Navi, Vehi David oseh tzedakah u'mishpat. David in the courtroom did tzedakah u'mishpat. So the Gemara Siddin says, tzedakah means he did a favor. Mishpat means justice. If there's tzedakah, there's no mishpat. If there's mishpat, there's no tzedakah. How could you do justice and charity at the same time? So the Gemara says, David HaMelech was such a compassionate judge. Two people came into the court, from a rich man and a poor man. Mishpat, poor man, you have to pay. That's mishpat. That's the deen. However, David HaMelech felt bad for the poor man. He would pay the bill for the poor man. That was tzedakah. So even though there was mishpat, at the same time there was tzedakah. He paid from his own pocket, in order that the poor man doesn't have... So he gave tzedakah tonight. He said, you don't have to pay any money. I'll take care of the bill for you. But I saw the Gemara writes on a pasuk. Well, actually, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. We're learning Tehillim tonight. Asiti mishpat vasedek. Bal tanihani le'oshekai. David HaMelech says, I did mishpat vasedik, which we explained, mishpat vasedik means he judged the rich man that the money is coming to him, but he did sedik by paying it. Bal tanihani le'oshekai. And God, do not leave me to the ones that are going to be oshek me, to rob from me. Says the Maharsha, what is David HaMelech talking about? Bal yashkeni al tani al oshekai. David HaMelech was praying that the following situation does not happen. Everybody knew that David HaMelech was paying the bills. So what are they going to do? They're going to make a setup. Two guys are going to come to court, a rich guy and a poor guy. They'll make a case up. They know David HaMelech's going to end up shelling out money from his pocket. They'll make a kenunya. Now the rich guy gets money from David HaMelech and he goes out of the court. He splits it with his money with the poor guy, and then they ripped off the king. So David HaMelech says, I don't want my charity and my good heart to be taken advantage by the Oshek. So I saw a question brought down by the Be'er Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Salant. If David HaMelech was worried about getting ripped off by a kenunya, by a scheme, the pasuk should say, "Bal tanihani, do not leave me legozelai, to those that are going to rob me." Oshekai is not the right word. What is an oshek? Oshek is somebody that robs somebody's wages. Somebody worked and did something, and you don't pay. That's called oshek. This is not Oshik. This is gaslighting. The guy came, I paid you money, you took my money, and you went, you divided it up amongst yourselves. He should say, Bal tani ani legozelai, not la Oshikai. That's the question of Rabbi Yosef Salant. He answers wonderfully. He says, judgment in Klal Yisrael is considered Torah. Many of the great Hachamim closed the books that they were studying in order to judge people. It's Bitul Torah, it's not Bitul Torah. Judging God's nation is also one of the mitzvot. Even if you're judging a menial case, you're bringing justice into the world. The Torah is called Emet. So bringing justice is also a way to pursue Emet. It's a mitzvah to judge. A rabbi shouldn't think when they come to him and two guys are fighting, you know, we have a shared driveway, who gets to park their car? The rabbi shouldn't say, well, you're wasting my time, Bitul Torah, get out of here, go fight it. No, that's Torah. Because God wants that there should be justice amongst people. If they have a dispute, the Torah has an opinion. Who gets the driveway? Who gets to park there? What's the deen? Din peruta ke din me'ah. They're fighting. Whose bubblegum is it? That's Torah. They're fighting corporate merger, millions of dollars. That's the same Torah. Din peruta ke din me'ah. So David HaMelech never had a problem to go to court to judge people, because that's what God wants. And you know what? He wasn't even worried about if they're going to rip him off. So what? Let a poor guy come into the Beit Din with kenunya, and I end up giving him some money. It's tzedakah. Let him get there. Like sometimes we get ripped off by the shilichin. They come in. If a guy has all these problems and he has to go collect money, give him, can't keep the money. Tzedakah, big deal. The $2 you gave him. Baruch Hashem that we don't have to do such a thing. David HaMelech wasn't worried about that. You know what he was worried about? If they come along, I'm learning. My time is precious. If they're coming along and making this scheme, that means there was no case over here. This is already a waste of my time. This is bitul Torah. These people are not gazlanim. Because the money that I gave them, I'm giving it to them. I don't care. Take the money. Chpatli on the money. But you didn't compensate me for my time. That's an oshek. If it was a real case, so you paid me for my time. I closed the book. You paid me that I got the mitzvah of being involved in Bishpat. That's Torah. Mashiachin, I closed the book. I was learning. Now I came out to play games with you over here so you could fool me and trick me. Good, so you took my money. Kapara on the money. Enjoy the money. But what are you going to do? Bitul Torah. Please God, baltani hani le'oshekai. Those that take my time and don't compensate me for it, and don't give me a remuneration. See, that's the biggest loss that they have. Money. Who cares about the money? But the time that you took. This is the biggest loss that David HaMelech can incur. And therefore, David HaMelech understood the sensitivity of justice, and therefore he was praying that in Shlomo HaMelech's time, it'll be the ultimate justice. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. That's why we pray on Motzei Shabbat. Now's the time of the Ha'arav, David HaMelech, Alav Shalom. Now we're all going to go have Seudat Medavei Malkah. We're going to mention the Seudah of David HaMelech, Alav Shalom. We pray that all these berachot that he gave to Shlomo HaMelech, Be'ezat Hashem, should come in our generation, that David HaMelech should reveal himself. David, according to the Zohar, is the Mashiach. Mashiach bin David, it says David HaMelech himself. And Be'ezat Hashem will reveal himself. Then there'll be Mishpat. Then Yisru Harim Shalom La'am. And then it says, like in the Pasuk, Umal Ha'aretz De'a, Kamayim Nayam Mechassim, Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen, amen. We are not going to show amen.